Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Tonight, it is the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Welcome in, everyone. Welcome in, Feather Light. Namaste. Peace and greetings, everybody, and everyone listening. Yes, namaste. How are you, dear?
I'm fabulous.
You're fabulous.
Great. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you, but you were just kind of, I believe your mic was kind of like breaking you up a little bit, so I didn't quite hear you. But it's so great to hear that you're doing fabulous. Tonight, I am so excited about our show because we are having our spirit talk, Featherlight. Spirit Talk, Awakening and Consciousness. So you are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, and you know we love to raise your vibrations and lift your frequencies. Yes, and so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about awakening and consciousness and how do we recognize traits of an awakening soul, Featherlight.
Interesting. I'm looking forward to discussing that, and I hope we get some of my listeners to call in and give their thoughts, because this is just some ideas, some areas to look into, to consider when there's so many of us, we're coming into a new phase of our life, and it's puzzling to some, and some don't know really what to think. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Yes. So what are some of the different levels of consciousness? So we're going to just have this conversation around consciousness and awakening soul. And these are concepts from Ralph Smart. I love Ralph Smart. We will share numerous thoughts and topics from Ralph Smart here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show, because I love his messages. They are so inspiring and enlightening to me, and we just really want to share that, because that is our mission here with the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show to, again, say it with me, people, help you become a stronger version of yourself. Ding! We're going to have some sound effects. I know sound effects for this show, because this is a show. You know, I always say life is a show. It's your show. It's your play. I mean, but this is actually a show. It's a radio show.
Right.
So we need some sound effects. I have to create my own sound effects. Now, we'll have some sound effects. We will. You can log in and listen to us on Black Talk Radio Network. You can chat with us through uberconference.com/ Black Talk Radio Network if you would like to chat with us, or you can simply call in 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and you can call in and share your thoughts and comment at it. We welcome it, because you'll be in our care. Feather Light.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Colin.
2 hours.
Speaking of cat, as we segue into hot topics, well, before we go to hot topics, let's hear your quote.
Okay, so we get messages from our higher selves, our universe, and a few months back I shared some messages that we get from the universe when we're going in the wrong direction, you know, stomping your toe, things like that, suddenly getting ill. So tonight, I would like to share some messages that we get from our spiritual team, letting us know different things. And I will break these up into little segments throughout the show. Number one is that gut feeling. I mean, it's like nothing else. It's not like a stomach ache. It's not like a limb ache. And it's sudden. And I think many people have felt it. Just live long enough if you haven't. What about you, Black Paul? Have you felt that gut feeling?
Yes, I have certainly felt that gut feeling. And I've learned
that
to listen.
The message. That's the message.
Yes. And I've learned to listen and just feel that feeling and embrace that feeling, and I make my decisions from there. It's your intuition, your some people say your common sense or your God sense or your inner voice speaking to you. I've learned to follow it. It can be something as simple as, should I go right or should I go left at an intersection? And I listen. And for whatever reason, I decide which way to turn. And who knows, that decision could have prevented me from encountering some unfortunate event.
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's right. Thank you.
I was headed somewhere. I was heading to a skate rink one particular night. And for some, and I've, as many times as, years and years ago, but I've gone to that particular skating rink many times. And this particular night, I kept getting turned around. And it was so strange. I think the third time, I decided to come back home. I said, something's not right. So I never knew. It's not like I checked the papers to see if anything had happened, but I just figured, no. And another one is shivers down your back, down your spine.
Oh, we get that little shiver and that little, like, something like that, an electric bolt or something. It's like,
Now,
a light bulb.
I have got
an extreme shot, but just
well, mine feels more like ripples. Mine would, and this would happen. I mean, this is really strange, and I didn't really connect this until I was reading this. And this has happened over the years when I date a new guy, start to date a new guy. You know that feeling you have when you first meet somebody and you think you're going to click and you're happy and when they call, you're smiling, and when you're talking to them, every word is just, you're smiling, oh, this is my work here, that first week or two, everything is all grins and gravy, So I would be in that grins and gravy mood, and then I'd find myself lying in bed. And then, I don't know, and I guess it's because everything is quiet and my mind is not running. And I was just
ripples.
It would go from, yeah, ripples. It would go, it would start at the top, and it would go all the way, you know, past my hips, past my thighs, past my knees, past my legs, all the way down my legs to my ankles and to the tip of my toes.
Ripples from head to toe.
And it would come to me. I would be, it would be something. Every time you meet somebody, it's always something that's not perfect. You know, you don't meet perfect people on this earth. So it would be something, of course, you know, about the person. And when I would feel this ripple, whatever it is about this person, my messenger or whatever would say, that's gonna come between you all. That's gonna break you up. Or that's gonna cause the breakup. And I'd be thinking, why just not him? You know, I don't want that to happen. And sure enough, that would be it. Maybe it'd be a month or whatever. But each and every time, I would feel that ripple, and I would know what is going to be the cause. And I'll think, am I thinking of this? Am I imagining this? I can't be imagining this because right now I'm all good. It's all great. I'm loving this feeling. Go away. But yeah, so mine was a ripple. All right, so those are two that I would share. Let me give you one more. Hear a positive voice with a brief message. A positive voice with a brief message.
Positive voice with what?
With a brief message. It's something just brief, like a one-liner. You really should stop by here and check them out. Something like that. And then you do it. You know. Like you were just saying, you really should, you know, go left and see what's down that way. And you might meet somebody. You may come across somebody. You may touch somebody's life in a way that you didn't even know it.
Right.
Because you went that way.
Simple interaction that you may not at that moment realize how pertinent it is or how it would transform you in some kind of way.
Or that other person.
Or
how
that
powerful
other person.
They're in.
The interaction in itself. I'm speaking now.
So those are my quotes for now.
And we'll have more quotes. And as we continue with the quotes, be sure to go on to Black Talk Radio Network where you can donate to keep Black Talk Radio streaming to you live. And you can listen to all kinds of shows and information, news. So be sure to tune in to Black Talk Radio Network. Log on to the Black Talk Radio Network, Black Talk Radio Project page, where you can also donate. And you can purchase your T-shirt, too. So Black Talk Radio Matters T-shirt. I have one. You have one. For the light. And you listening?
Yes.
You should have one as well.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let's get into a few hot topics before we go into our show. I just have to highlight again, a group of football players. Again, because I'm always on these athletes, so when I see that they're stepping up and giving back to the community, as many have done in the past historically. But we just want to continue highlighting those that are stepping up to the plate because, you know, we were on Mike Vick, but the week about talking about Colin Kaepernick, and he had to walk that right on back. Woo! Mike Vick got his little butt smacked, okay? So he had to walk all of those little comments about Colin Kaepernick needs to cut his hair. First thing you need to do is get a haircut. First thing you need to do is like, walk that comment back, okay? And he walked it back. So anyway, what? So Marshawn Lynch, some know him as Beast Mode. Now, I don't know about too many football players and all that, but I do know about Marshawn Lynch because I remember when he did not want to attend the press conference the Super Bowl press conferences and all that. Marshawn Lynch dissed him so cold. I just loved it. I mean, I watched those YouTube videos of him over and over, those news clips, ESPN clips and all that. He was like, I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm just here, so I won't get fined.
I love it.
Oh, I'm just here, so I won't get fined. What's up, African? What's up, African? Yeah, you. What's up, African? I was like, whoa. Beast mode.
Beast mode.
I was ready to box the beast mode. Yeah. Marshawn Lynch actually purchased this soul food restaurant because the lady was about 79 years of age. 79-year-old Cassie Nicholson, who had been a staple in the community in Oakland. And so she had this soul food restaurant. She has a soul food restaurant called Sins. Is it Sins? Yes, Sins Restaurant and Bar. And it's been operating in the Oakland and Emeryville area since 1967. And Marshawn Lynch used to purchase sandwiches, I think sandwiches and fries, like hamburgers and fries from her when she ran a catering business from her apartment. So in order to keep this restaurant thriving and alive in the community, Marshawn Lynch purchased the restaurant. So he is now the owner of Sands Restaurant and Bar, soul food restaurant. He saved that soul food staple, black business, soul food. I mean, if we can't do anything else, you can have a soul food restaurant. But, you know, they say a lot of these young girls don't know how to cook too well these days.
Yeah.
I mean, but take some cooking classes. They have all kinds of cooking shows, and we're working on a cookbook, so you can purchase our cookbook. You can learn how to cook all kinds of meals, because we'll have soul food, vegetarian, vegan, raw, paleo, on these paleo diets. We'll have a variety. So good food, good home cooked food. So and healthy. So anyway, back to Marshawn Lynch. So it's a happy ending for fans because now Marshawn Lynch is back in Oakland. He was recently signed to the Raiders, and he had a bike ride with about 400 people in May. So he saved the restaurant. And you know what she serves at this restaurant? For 50 years. Yeah. She's been serving soul food classics like red beans and rice, wings, fried catfish, oxtail, and macaroni and cheese.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't do macaroni and cheese. I bet she's got the real deal.
Right. I hope she did record all of her recipes. Because don't come in there trying to change anything. Keep it just like Miss Cassie used to cook it the same way. Miss Cassie, please make sure they have the recipes. Because you know how people try to train their grandchildren. And you can tell when the grandchildren been there cooking versus like Miss Ellen. Oh, my God. Miss Ellen sold food. Woo! Miss Ellen had a little bonnet on her head. And she come there and take your order. She sit down on the little stool. Take forever taking your order. And, baby, but when she brought that food out, you know how they open up the container and let you look at it?
Right.
Oh, boy.
Right.
How'd it look, baby? Yeah, they look good. They look good, Miss Ellen. Let me get a butter roll.
Give me a butter roll.
Keisha. Bring the bottle roll. You know how they are. Now, that was the epitome of a greasy spoon soul food restaurant. I mean, when you go in there, the food was delicious. But when you go in there, you can just sit down and feel the chitlin' grease on the table. I don't care how good they wipe their table. You feel that chitlin' grease. You're like, somebody been at this table eating chitlin'. Anyway, so Marshawn Lynch bought the soul food restaurant. I'm glad. Hey, listen, that's wonderful. More people should continue to keep some of these soul food restaurants open. It's so hard to find a soul food restaurant here in Houston. It's ridiculous. Shoot, I wish my dad would move here so we can make some Memphis ribs. And I mean, goodness gracious, we would just kill it here. So anyway, here's another story about some NFL players. Who financed, this is Adrian Foster and retired Texan Glover Quinn, Dwayne Brown, Jonathan Grimes, Omar Bolden, Bobby Wagner, Darius Slay, Sherrod McManus, E.J. Manuel, Malik Jackson, Nick Martin, and Lamik Lutunga all invested a combined total of $810,000 in Makelia Umar's Lemonade Company. Some of you may recall seeing the picture of the little 12-year-old girl started the lemonade company. She was all the rave on social media, went viral. So these football players, NFL players, came together to donate money into her Me and the Bees Lemonade. Isn't that awesome?
That is
wonderful. My God. Hand clap and snap up for you guys.
Yes. Support our children, their dreams, their gifts, wishes.
Yes. So these guys said that they are very happy to team up with the humble young entrepreneur. So they've actually invested in her company, so they will continue to work with her. This was not just like a one-time donation. They are actually investing in her company, and they will continue to work with her. So that is just wonderful. I'm so proud of this young lady, as well as the brother stepping up. Me and the Bees Lemonade, formerly Be Sweet Lemonade. Now I remember the name Be Sweet Lemonade.
Yeah, Be Sweet is more memorable for me.
Now the way she found
about 4 years old when she started.
Exactly. Yeah. At the age of four, she was stung by a bee twice, and she grew fascinated with the way the bees helped the ecosystem and wanted to help save them using her great grandmother's flaxseed lemonade recipe and honey. And some people may have seen her on Shark Tank. I love Shark Tank. And she pitched and earned a $60,000 investment. Since then, her business has been booming. And she is an Austin, Texas native here in Texas. So she was invited to the White House also to meet President Barack Obama. So congratulations to you, young lady. You better do that, girl. So proud of you, and so proud of those NFL players for stepping up. Now, let's just stay in Texas for a second. I want to send out my condolences for the light to the families of those people that were found in that truck in San Antonio. And I read that at points, like 200 people were packed in that truck, because they would, like, stop, unload, pick up, throughout this route. 8 people died and 29 hospitalized. I don't know if that number has changed as of the time we are airing. But did you hear that the truck driver, his last name is Bradley, he said that he didn't even know the people in the back of his truck.
What? Wait a minute.
That's what he said. He said he didn't know until he stopped at Walmart to use the restroom. And he heard the people banging on the truck. So, I don't know, Bradley. They talking about giving you life.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes guys pick up trucks after it's been loaded. They'll hit it, you know, and they'll get on the truck, get in the cab part, and drive on off thinking it's been loaded. You know, with whatever it is that they're supposed to get, because sometimes they don't actually, the driver doesn't actually load the truck.
Yeah, but I think that they're supposed to check like their manifesto or their list to see if everything is on that truck.
Yeah, then they gotta have the manifest.
So I don't know about that, Bradley, but one thing I do know.
Bradley, I was trying to help you out.
He was trying to help you, Bradley. She was trying to help you. She might make a good assistant chair for your case. But I know one thing. I do know, well, I don't know. I've heard of some truck drivers that would make money on the side by transporting people for the coyotes. I mean, we're right here in Texas. So,
yeah.
And we have quite a few truck drivers coming through here. And Dallas is like a main stop, so. But my condolences go out to those family members. That's just horrible. But so that happens all of the time. I think it must have been a slow news day. But this happens all of the time coming through here in Texas. And I'm sure other places.
I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the people that die on those boats when they're trying to cross, and all of those Syrians and different Africans leaving from certain parts of Africa, traveling over to Europe. So, I mean, this happens quite often. Not diminishing what happened in San Antonio, what I'm saying is this happens quite often, and it's sad. It's a sad story that people are going through those types of extremes and risking their lives to go to another country, and all because of what? Because of wars that have been created in their country. Their countries have been decimated through war or things, or colonialism. So, moving right along, Minneapolis. Let's go to Minneapolis for a hot second. So, the Minneapolis sheriff has resigned as a result of this shooting of this woman, Justine Rizanek. And so the sheriff is a female, and I read that she was a lesbian, quote-unquote woman of color. I think she may be Native American, something like that, maybe have some Native American heritage. Let me see, what is it? Her name is Janae Hatu. She's faced criticism for the handling of the shooting of unarmed Australian woman Justine, as well as previous killings that go back to 2013. And this sheriff, if people remember, she spoke out about the shooting, and you rarely hear, like, the sheriff not in defense of a cop shooting. Okay? They always say we have to
take time and
look at the evidence, and everybody be calm, and these things take time. There's an investigation. And they stand behind that cop, even though they've seen the video. And then when they finally have to admit that they've viewed the video and see that it was an unjust killing or a questionable killing, then they may come out and say something. I have not really heard much from the police union defending this Somalian, Muhammad Noor, I believe is his name. But anyway, so this sheriff has had, she's resigned the request of the mayor, Betsy Hodges. Yes, Betsy Hodges held a press conference. Now, watch the video, Featherlight. So, Betsy Hodges was trying to speak to the people, to the citizens about this police chief resigning and all this mess about the shooting. So, the people started saying, "We want you to resign also."
Not even Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Really?
Oh
my gosh.
Yes. So they asked for her to resign. Her resignation was asked to be submitted as well in conjunction with Ms. Hartu. And in fact, the crowd, a coalition of community groups pushing for police reform, drowned out Betsy Hodges, Mayor Betsy Hodges' comments with chants of "Bye bye Betsy, bye bye Betsy, bye bye Betsy."
Oh my God!
Yes, it is.
Getting a little ruckus.
They need to. I mean, look what happened what's her name, Anita Alvarez in Chicago. Those people said, even without having a candidate to endorse. But one thing they were united on was, let's get Anita Alvarez out of this state's office as prosecutor. Got rid of her. She was not reelected. No, ma'am. Bye-bye. And so it looks like this mayor will not be reelected. So let's keep watch on Miss Betsy. And, you know, Mother Hattie, I see Hattie's up there, so she'll keep us informed about those details. I did want to speak on the anniversary of the Newark and Detroit riots. That movie, Detroit, will come out. I believe it's August 4th. We're going into the month of Black August, and people, August is very significant to the Black Conscious community. So I am so looking forward to going to see that. I will purchase my tickets ahead of time, and I will be there to see that. I spent so much time in Detroit last year just seeing, and I can go on and on about Detroit. I have family there, about 50 cousins there in Detroit, and Detroit and Inkster. So, my goodness, I'm waiting on that movie. So, but this is the anniversary of the Newark and Detroit riots. There are a couple of videos and documentaries that you can watch. We'll talk more about the Newark and Detroit riots. I do remember seeing one of the videos, and I mean, the National Guard was called in, and they were like sniping people, literally sniping people, because the National Guard tried to say that there was a black sniper on the loose. I think the picture of a sniper, black sniper, crouched over a shotgun, was on the cover of Time magazine issue for that week.
Right.
And it turned out to all be a farce. It was untrue. It was just propaganda, just so that the National Guard could say, yeah, we need to come out here and just shoot and snipe people. I mean, it was amazing to just watch that footage. You see people like in their windows, and then the National Guard are sniping, shooting, just shooting up in the building.
In the home, yes.
So I'm looking forward to seeing the Detroit film, and I really would love to see more people produce films around some of these historic events and occasions. I really would, really would. I wasn't going to mention this. Yeah, we have to tell our own story. Yeah, we have to. I didn't talk about this last week, but since this story is growing in popularity, Usher. Oh my God, baby. I just have to shake my head. So, poor little Usher has been sued for $1.1 million because he gave this girl, infected this young lady with herpes. She knew he had herpes, but he told her that he was in a particular stage. He's just a carrier, so he couldn't transmit it to her, right? So, nevertheless, she had sex with him, unprotected sex, and contracted herpes. But you had to get some, okay? So, you got some now, some herpes. So she sued Usher for $1.1 million. And Usher was deceptive because he knew that he could transmit this STD to this young lady. So that's why she was able to sue him. And not only has he had to pay this young lady $1.1 million. Come to find out also, this is what I read, that the young lady that he infected was one of the bridesmaids at the wedding.
Of who?
Of his wedding. Usher's wedding.
Really?
She was a friend of this wife.
Oh!
The two of them just screwing and doing, okay? And herpes, just spreading herpes, okay? So not only...
But Okay, excuse me, you did say he told her he did have herpes?
But he was not in the... what do you call it, the phase where you can transmit it? Let's see. We'll come back to that story, because I really wasn't paying much attention to it last week. I just shook my head about it. I did read an article.
I'm
not really familiar about. Okay, so what? Well, tell us then. So he was in the phase where he could not transmit it, right?
No, well, I don't. it's like a phase. I think that some people have
when it flares,
but
right when
but
it flares,
not,
you transmit it right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you have it. You have it. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you got it. You got it. Period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like my child is here, but she's asleep right now. I mean, but she's still back there in the bedroom, you know. But she's asleep, but she's still back there, you know. That's where herpes is. It's there. But anyway, we should have done some research on that. Okay, well.
Oh, my goodness. Let me see. So, I don't know if all of this is true about Usher. I really don't. That's why I really didn't want to talk about it. But there's another lady that's coming out saying that she also contracted herpes from him, and she's suing for $20 million. Well, she started out with $10 million, then she doubled it to $20 million, and now she's doubled it to $40 million, from what I hear. Don't know how true all of this is. These people could be lying on Usher. Not sure. I'll look more into it. But there have been quite a few reports on it, so I don't know. People, you can call in and let us know if you have some more information on it. But my point is, have safe sex, people. And you don't always have to have sex with someone. And if this is true and someone tells you that they are infected with something, then definitely use protection if you just really have to have sex. But that's why we are here once again, because in the age of information, and when you have Feather Light that shares all of these tantric tricks and tips, there's so many other ways that you can have explosive intimacy without penetration.
That's
not always have to have penetration.
Exquisite,
so many other things that you can explore. Absolutely.
Seriously connected. Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, let's come back and give our review on Queen Sugar and Queen of the South. Would you like to share your spoken word?
My spoken word. Let me see. You know, I have to get into character.
Oh, okay. You have
first
to get into
of all, first of all, last week, I did share in spoken word from Solange Knowles' CD, A Seat at the Table, and I shared the fact that when this CD came out, she made history because it was... registered as number one on the Billboard, and in that same calendar year, Beyonce had the Lemonade as the number one album. So they were made history as being the first two sisters to have a number one hit album on the Billboard. So, Tina Knowles did spoken word, which I thought was very uplifting. The whole CD is very powerful, very pro-black, is very prideful of being who we are as people, and Master P had a couple of spoken word moments on the CD, as well as Solange Knowles' father. So I was not able to finish with Master P last week, so I said that I would finish with him this week, as well as share a little poetry by Wassam Shari, who contributed to Beyonce's Lemonade CD. So I'm giving props to these two wonderful, brilliant sisters. All right, so this is interlude by Master P. And as I said before, Master P and Solange were childhood friends in elementary. So they go way, way back. And the title of this spoken word, Master P, is very brief. I'll do two very brief ones. It's pedestals. Pedestals. But man, I done been through it all. So I said, I want to tell my story. Because I never cried or nothing. And this was a make them say, that's like my pain. That's basically what it is. That's my battle cry. Think about it. None of us are perfect. We live in an imperfect world. You know, only God can judge me. That's how I look at it. The people that's sitting around pointing their fingers, imagine all the stuff they probably doing. Whether you're police officers, doctors, lawyers, presidents, whatever. You got good and bad and everything. You know, we're putting people on pedestals. They're just a human like us. You know, I mean, they got more drugs and rich than they would, and they got in the hood. A lot of their kids die from overdose and things like that. Think about it. Black kids have to figure it out. We don't have rehab to go to. You got to rehab yourself. But for us, you can't pull the plug on us until it's over. No, not me. And this is another one from Master P. He says, this is what makes my life complete. Knowing that it's a higher being, a higher power. Knowing that these people have been paved their way. You know, our great-great-grandfathers and grandmothers that came here, they found some kind of way to make the rhythm. You know, and they kept living no matter what. Now, we come here slaves, but we're going out as raw and able to show that we are truly the chosen one. That was Master P's into. Now I'm going to do a very poetry. Thank you. By Wasan Shadi.
Oh, let me give you some snaps. Okay.
Thank you. You know I love the snaps.
Yes.
My alone feels so good. I'll only have you if you're sweeter than my solitude. It's not my responsibility to be beautiful. I'm not alive for that purpose. My existence is not about how desirable you find me. You want me to be a tragic backdrop so that you can appear to be illuminated? So that people can say, wow, isn't he so terribly brave to love a girl who is so obviously sad? You think I'll be the dark sky so you can be the star? I'll swallow you whole. Later that night, I held an axis in my lap. I ran my fingers across the whole world. Then I whispered, where does it hurt? It answered, everywhere. How far have you walked for men who never held your feet in their lap? How often have you battered with bones only to sell your steps short? How do you find the unavailable so alluring? Where did it begin? What went wrong? And who made you feel so worthless? If they wanted you, when they have chosen you, all this time you were begging for love, silently, thinking they couldn't hear you, but they smelt on you. You must have known that they could taste the desperate on your. And what
What about the others
that would do anything for you? Why didn't you make them love you until you could not stand it? How are you both of these women, both mighty and needful? And where did you learn this? Want or does not want you? Where did you learn this? To leave those that want to stay. You can't make homes out of human beings. Someone should have already told you that. And if he wants to leave, then let him leave. You are terrifying and strange and beautiful. Something not everyone knows how to love. No, he loves me. He just makes me cry a lot. But he loves me. It's not that he wants to be a liar. It's just that he doesn't know the truth. I didn't call him back because he liked this girl's voice less. I stay because you're the beginning of a dream I want to remember. Namaste.
Namaste, namaste. Thank you, Featherlight. Powerful, powerful. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You and your spoken word. You and your spoken. Let me give you a few more snaps. Oh, where can I purchase my Broadway ticket? Oh, thank you. Powerful. What's the name of that one again?
Well, these were just various poems, various lines that I took from Asanchari's contribution to Beyonce's Lemonade. So a lot of them were one-liners, and as you can tell, she speaks from a black woman's perspective, and she's about healing.
Mm-hmm. The most disrespected woman.
She's a little mishmash.
She's a little what?
I did a little mishmash, you know.
Oh, you did a little mishmash. Well, thank you for that mishmash.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love it. Always, 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 always. We're going to get ready to delve into our topic tonight. Before we go to break, let's just at least kind of get into some of this and unpack this, because this topic tonight I found quite interesting listening to Ralph Smart. So we said, wow, we should share some of this on with our listeners. Also tonight, be sure you stay tuned in so that you can hear us honor Dr. Ben for our African Spirit honoree tonight. So stay tuned. Let's see, let's get into our topic tonight, Featherlight. Awakening, the awakening soul and consciousness. You know, consciousness has become such a popular term now. Everybody wants to be conscious. Everybody's conscious. So, I mean, I think that's great, and it could be great, because if you do consider yourself conscious, at least you're going to some type of awareness, and that's always great. We want to evolve. Yes, and there are different levels of consciousness, and these are just four levels of consciousness from Ralph Smart's perspective that we'll share on tonight. So let's see here. All right, let's see. Let's go with this first one. All right, four levels of consciousness. Let's just dig into this one before we go into break. Featherlight. The drone is the sleeper, silent sufferer. They refuse
love themselves, and they feel like a victim of circumstance. And they're often those people that are offended by what people say, and they judge themselves. They have an inability to relax and low confidence levels. Vita needs and accepts anything and everything without questioning it. There's this social media group called Question Everything.
Oh, really?
Question Everything. Yes. Question Everything. And see, I question. I remember Dick Gregory in one of his lectures said, when I see them reporting something, I just say, they lying.
Yeah.
He throws his hand. They lying. And that's how I view it. I'm like,
Me too.
Because like you said, it's that gut feeling in the pit of your stomach. If something just tells me, no, that doesn't sound quite right. My intuition, my God sense tells me something's not right with that. So I do. I question everything. I question things. I question people and their actions. So some people that fall into this drone level of consciousness, they question nothing. They see no consequence for their actions. They eat what they want, live an unhealthy lifestyle. Maybe eat burgers and fries 2-3 times a week.
Okay. And a shake.
Yeah. Extra large. Oh, and those 32, 64-ounce drinks and all that. Oh, my God.
I can't believe they make drinks that large.
Right. And they haven't quite realized that it's all connected, Featherlight. What we think, what we feel, what we eat, what we say. It affects us mentally and emotionally and physically and also spiritually.
Mind, body, and spirit.
Mind, body, and spirit, baby.
Mm-hmm.
If you're eating junk food and you have this unhealthy lifestyle and you're unable to express how you feel and you are afraid of being offended, then you're in this drone.
Always judging yourself.
Always judging yourself. Right. And we've spoken about that. It's one thing to critique your decisions, actions, behavior, but to constantly carry that guilt and not forgive yourself, as we spoke about. Not forgiving yourself and just releasing that. You can't hold on to it. You can't keep judging yourself, and you can't try to over perfect yourself. You're perfect as you are, and just be perfect. Mm-hmm. Be perfect. You know, I've heard people. Well, basically, all of my life, I've heard the old adage: "Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect.
mm-hmm.
Nobody but mm-hmm. God is perfect." Well, if God made me in His image, then am I not perfect?
Right. Right. Right.
And I heard someone deal with that on the whole issue of us being trained to think that we're not perfect people. That we could never
be perfect.
What
I always wonder is what scale are you using? Yeah, what scale are you using to judge that by? You know, perfect as according to whom? According to whose standard? No?
Whose standard?
You set your
whose
own.
Standard to be perfect. Exactly. Just like success is what you deem is successful for you. So let's take a break, and we'll be back after the break to continue talking about these levels of consciousness and the awakening. So we'll be right back.
Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, we are back here. You are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and tonight we are talking about the four levels of consciousness and the awakening soul. And I hope that during this break you were able to log on to the Black Talk Radio Network page and donate so that we can keep bringing you this real news, not fake news like Donald Trump. Fake news media people. Oh, speaking of him, you know, he said that he was going to ban today. He announced that he would establish a ban on transgender people being admitted to or serving in the military. I said, oh my goodness, they're getting ready to come out on him, because during on the campaign trail, Donald Trump said that transgender people would be able to go into any restroom they wanted to go into, especially in the Trump Tower and all of this. So, you know, you had the gays and the transgenders and the LGBTQP2RS LMNOP1, all that, because you know they've added all these missions to that for pansexual and intersexual and all of that. Anyway, and now he is banning the transgender. Now, Donald Trump, you got to let those transgenders be in the military, because you know that the gay community and the transgenders there, they are very powerful. They will take off work on a Wednesday and they will go and fight their cause. They're not like some black people that don't want to take off until Saturday or can't go protest until Saturday when they off. They don't want to write a letter or go anywhere, go fight, do it, you know. Those gay people and the transgender, they will take off on a Tuesday, on a Monday, and they will be there at the White House or wherever you are and throw a party on your lawn all night long. Yes, they are not playing with you. So I commend them. Keep doing what you're doing, because guess what? You're getting what you want. So just keep on fighting a good fight, because you learn from the best, the civil rights movement. So keep on doing what you're doing. Maybe one day we'll wake up and get back on our grind too. So with that said, let's and let the church say amen. With amen. That said, amen. I'll say donkashon. So let's go back to our four levels of consciousness, shall we?
Yes. Let's talk about the artist. So the artist is that person that is coming into awareness. They're using their gift to express what they're feeling. They're about expression. They're about talking about their life experiences. It's like you're coming out of the storm. You know, you're like, woo! You're getting things off your chest. Yeah. And they hold a lot of power because they are able to bring us into their subjective reality. And so we see things the way they do. And they're telling us their story. And like, oh, okay, I get it. I'm with you. But the trouble with that is that many times the artist is either focusing on and all good, and everything's lovely, okay, don't be smooth, or all bad. Not balanced. It's not yet balanced. Don't sweat. So they create worlds that are not fully living in them. So that's sort of the artist stage of consciousness.
Creating a world that you're not fully living in. That's intriguing. Fascinating.
I could see a lot of artists doing that. They're expressing what's going on in their life Lauryn Hill, I really like that CD she did, Lost Boys, that one track on there. She was talking about how the artists in that hip hop field that she was in, that period, how she saw them turning away from what their true mission was.
I love that. I love that. I love that. Oh my God, I love that. I know exactly what song you're speaking of.
Yeah, she says, you know, why you're lying, my fire.
Everything you do is so tired. Music is supposed to inspire.
Fire.
So how come we ain't getting no higher?
No higher.
Yeah.
Right.
That's my jam.
That was an awakening for her. That was the best album of
1999. Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. I agree with you on that. Now, I would love to think more on this creating your own world but not fully living in them, because I could see that at first I was like, but in actually marinating on that, I can see exactly what that statement speaks to, how people create a world, and it's an illusion that they're actually really not even existing in. But like I said, I'd like to think more on that. Any more thoughts on the artist?
When I think of that, I think of, you know, the artist's level of consciousness, I think of Michael Jackson. He had some very conscious music that may not have gone quite as popular with people of color as it did with the other groups. Like they don't give a fuck about us. You know, that was like really, I mean, he had a lot of good conscious messages in his music in the later years. And I think also that even though he was becoming aware of a lot of things, I kind of get the feeling he was still so unhappy with last years, that he never was able to reach that pinnacle. I mean, I never talked to him, we don't discuss the time, but I just think that's still him.
MJ, we will honor MJ as an African spirit honoree for sure. He's on our list as a lyrical angel, Michael Jackson. So, number three, The Alchemist. The Alchemist is about making the best of the worst. And as I mentioned, I will give my review, not tonight, on the book I just finished reading, The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. This book has sold millions and millions of copies. But The Alchemist, in respect to the four levels of consciousness, is about making the best of the worst, not allowing the external world to govern your existence. Okay? And taking more responsibility for oneself. This is all about transformation, this particular level of consciousness. Doing your inner work, that necessary inner work, that stuff that you don't want to deal with, but you know you need to deal with it. That hurt, that pain. Going back to visit, forgiving yourself and respecting yourself and forgiving someone else. Those are some of the, what they call the 12 steps, like with Alcoholics Who Go to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. They have to forgive themselves and forgive
other people and share with them, apologize, I believe, for how they may have hurt people. Because, you know, when you're an alcoholic or you're addicted to drugs or addicted to drinking alcohol, you can tend to hurt people. And it's generally those people that are closest to you, like your spouse, your children, your loved ones, family members, those people trying to help you. So, just going back and apologizing to people and forgiving yourself and forgiving those that may have scorned you in some way. But I don't believe in forgive and forget. Now, I believe in forgive. I may forgive you, but I don't forget. I'm not forgetting. That don't even make any sense. So, let's see. In this phase, you actually start changing your life and you embrace the shadow side of yourself. Those shadow sides, again, like I said, that stuff, those issues that you have, that's that shadow side, the little side of you that you know is messy, needs a lot of work, that hurt side. Okay. That's that shadow side. And then realize
all these years
that you've been avoiding. Yes. Or you haven't actually dealt with. Okay, that's that shadow side. And so realize that we're not here to live up to other people's expectations. You don't have to live up to anybody else's expectation. Live your life. Do you. And people will have to either accept you and love you as you are or not. My philosophy is this. Your shoes are not under my bed. I don't have to come home to you. I really don't have to worry about you that much. I really don't. So it really doesn't matter. But we will also have a show around how to block negativity and negative people. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they begin to encircle you like a pack of lions on a wildebeest. So anyway, so start to move toward your true desires. Friends who are on the same vibration and resonance. Okay, we spoke about this last week. I believe Delta spoke on this also. Start trying to adopt a practice of asking for the right people to come into your life. The right people to help you with what you're trying to accomplish. And this is what gets me about a lot of Christians who are not living their true purpose. Because the Bible tells you, you have not because you ask not. That's a message from the Bible. You have not, all you have to do is ask for it. Speaking of asking, as we conclude this piece on the Alchemist, let me read this from the Alchemist book. This is in the Reader's Guide section. To realize one's destiny is a person's only obligation. And when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it. Okay? So wake up to your true self. And the Alchemist is about making the best of the worst. Transformation, changing something, using that magic. Learning that you have that magic to create. What's that film we were watching the other day, Featherlight? Doctor Strange?
Oh, yes. Doctor Strange.
Yes. And they realized that they had the power to create different worlds. And they would transverse these different worlds. And they did this their own universe through their own energy. Energy is so important. And they didn't use the term universe. They used the term multiverse. Because there are some people who believe that there are multi-universes, parallel universes. There's a lot of research on this, I mean, a tremendous amount of research on parallel universes. So anyway,
it has been proven that there is more than one universe. Mm-hmm. I can't think of this astrologer's name, but so far as being parallel, I don't know about that, but there are several universes out there. This is the only one that they've proven. But I wanted to, the alchemist, before we skip over to the next one, which is the wizard, the alchemist, I kind of want to attach myself to that because I'm doing inner work and it's rather difficult, but it's something that I feel like I've never done before, so it's new, and I'm embracing my shadow side, and I already did my forgiving list. I did that a couple of years ago. I just made a list of everybody that I wanted to forgive. I think about a year ago, I thought about somebody else, and I thought, oh, I put them out of my mind so far, 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 far back, I forgot that they even played a role, so I had to ask them. But I feel like I'm doing that cleansing, that inner work that is needed, and then I'm also at the point where I don't feel like I have to live up to others' expectations as I have felt in the past. That's such a relief, you know. It's such a relief to just say, well, I don't feel like it. No, mm-mm, sorry. You know, instead of, oh, sure, of course, because I'm a nice person. Yeah, I'm a nice person, but I don't want to. No.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm feeling.
Nice person also, but hey, I have limits.
So, all right. Our next archetype is of consciousness is the wizard or the magician.
The wizard.
Yes. Yes. Mm. Now, the wizard or the magician, loves themselves unconditionally. See, I'm just getting to that loving me phase. I'm kind of like in there, like, oh, okay, this is it. So the magician has already accomplished that. They love themselves unconditionally, and this is where the magic starts to happen. When you love yourself unconditionally, 100%, you know, that's when it happens. I'm speaking from someone who knows, not myself. I'm working on it. You gain a phenomenal amount of confidence, and you begin to fuse the negative and the positive elements of yourself. See, a lot of us want to only think about the good stuff. You only want to think about the good parts of yourself. You don't want to face, well, there's some kind of little shady part. You know, that's okay. So the magician has learned to accept this, and that you're not confined to what you think you are. A lot of us think we're this way. We think we're that. The magician is allowing all expressions and all emotions to pass through them without judgment. Judgment plays a very key role in moving into different levels of consciousness. A person can say, I'm conscious, and then they'll say, look at that fool over there. He doesn't even know anything about chakras. He never even heard of chakras. Okay, but he's not at that point in his life. We're all at different levels. And being conscious is part of knowing this, of getting to that stage where you recognize this, that we're at different levels. So, and no one is at a faster level. It's, everybody is at the level that they're supposed to be at this particular time in their life. The wizard is creating his or her own illusion within their own reality. And the wizard realizes without other people that they are nothing. They realize that they do need other people. Whereas the alchemist, they pretty much kind of work on their own. You know, they're kind of a loner. They go around doing good things, you know, by themselves. But the wizard realizes that he needs people. And that's why a lot of wizards and magicians, they rule a lot, because they realize their power and they use other people. But you can become your own magician and not have to externalize your power. Use your power for yourself.
Use your power for yourself.
Why?
That
you want to break down.
That's very critical what you're saying. Use your power for yourself. And if I could just speak to that. This goes back again to what we were speaking of the other week. If we're giving someone else 8 hours of our energy and time on their dream, how much time are you putting in on your own dream? How much time are you investing in your dream? What's the sweat equity in your dream? So recognizing your power and using other power, using other people, not necessarily using them. I'm trying to dig into this one with the wizard, working with other people and your magic, your powers, your strength, your wisdom, your talent, whatever you want to call it. Because some people are like, oh, they're talking about magic. Ooh, they must be some witches. Ooh, those some witches on mind, body, and spirit. No. We're talking about just using your power, your wisdom, your talents, your gifts, your God-given gifts. We're all here. We all exist with certain gifts, just like animals. Like that song, if his eye is on the sparrow, I know he's watching me. So if sparrows are able to survive and thrive in the wild, can't you do it?
Mm.
Of course.
Mm.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not a Bible thumper at all. I do not even go to church. Okay? I grew up in the church, but I'm not a church goer currently. But I always have to refer to the Bible because, again, it goes back to if we really believe in the scripture and the words, then live that. So if a sparrow can make it, so can you. Use your powers. Tap into that. Again, ye are all gods. If you're made in a godly image, if you're made in a godly image, you can do it. You can create your own worlds. You can create your own reality. You are an alchemist. You can change water into wine. That's alchemy. You can do whatever it is you want to do. You can do it. You can grow your limbs back. You can do it. But we let people, again, as we spoke of, we allow people to project their reality on us. And tell us what we can't do.
That's subjective reality. This is what I want you to see.
Relegate us.
See with my eyes.
Position. Nope. It's time to wake up and recognize all the power within you. And the drone is always looking outside of themselves, as we spoke about. You have that sleeper drone, the silent sufferer. Okay? So that drone is always looking outside of themselves and waiting for someone to save them and fix things. They give their power away. But the wizard shares with the world their own unique perspective. So, and just to close this out, we are all born wizards as children. We begin to lose this gift. We become strict, feel we're not good enough, and we can imprint our wishes on the universe. I want to stop right there and just briefly unpack this a little bit. We are all born wizards as children, and we began to lose this gift. This is something that I speak to quite often. We always say, how many people have children? And before those children reached the age of, say, 5 or 6, we all said, oh, my goodness, my baby's so smart. My baby this, my baby. Your baby was the best baby in the world, the smartest baby. Guess what? Your baby probably was the smartest baby, and all of them are. All of them are. We come here knowing and having everything we need. You just need someone to nurture what you already have and induce. Just bring it out of you. But then we send our children to some of these institutions. To tell them that you only can learn this at this time and learn this at that time and do this at that time. And then you can learn how to do this. Then you can learn how to multiply and some trigonometry. Right. And maybe you'll even be able to take a physics class.
Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Maybe. Yes, maybe. So we're all born as wizards. We're all born wizards as children. We are. We're all born with all these gifts. The ability. That's why children feel so fearless. And they question everything.
Right, yeah.
They question everything. What's they this? Do. Why?
Well, right,
why?
Right.
Why do I have to?
Yeah. Right,
exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The babies know. The babies know. The babies know. And the babies are so honest. The babies are so honest. They will tell you the truth.
Yeah.
If you just listen. Yeah, you just listen. So, drones live in their mind space. If they can't see it, it doesn't exist. Whereas the artists and the alchemists live in their heart space and their intuition. The wizard fuses the heart and the mind together for the ultimate synthesis. Integrating the totality of who you are. The wizard sees the world for what it really is, a massive state show. All man-made. It's your world. It's your world. Your play. You write the script. You always say that. You're the non-writing spirit. Any concluding thoughts, Featherland?
The wizard realizes that you are enough.
Enough?
You are enough. You're perfect just as you are, just as you said earlier. And you can't become someone else. You are good, you are great just as you are. And in these levels of consciousness, there's no rush to say, I need to be here or I need to be there or I think I'm here, I want to be here. It's no rush to move from one consciousness to another. The first thing to do is just start embracing loving yourself 100%, and it will flow from there. Everything will start to change once we do that and gravitate toward the type of people who are on the same vibration, the same resonance as you are. And through that group of people that you're involving yourself with, as it grows, then we all can create a better world. We can redesign this stage that we're looking at. We can redesign the stage by working with similar people who are resonating the same vibration as we are. And that's that collective energy that we spoke of earlier. We can do it. We can do it.
Yes, we can. Thank you so much. Let's take a break, and then we can come back with our African spirit and just conclude that peace and We'll talk a little bit more about the Awakening Soul. You tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and we'll be right back after this break.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
It is time for African Spirit. Let me tap on my djembe. All right. Time for the African Spirit.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank you for the background music doing my spoken word. I heard that.
Oh, could you hear the background music?
Right. Yes, I could. Thank you so much.
Yes. All right, then. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. So tonight we're honoring the late, great Dr. Ben Joseph Alfredo Antonio Ben Yakinen, referred to by his admirers as Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben was born December 31st, 1918 in Gondar, Ethiopia. He transitioned to rest with the ancestors, to live in power with the ancestors, March 19th, 2015 in the Bronx, New York City. You know, Dr. Ben had become very frail, and he was very ill, and people would often visit him and share pictures because he shares so much knowledge. I just recall, let me go ahead on and read about Dr. Ben. See, I go all off in the left field on my stories. So Dr. Ben, an Afrocentric historian whose work is focused mainly on black presence in ancient Egypt. He contends in his writings that the pharaohs came out of the heart of Africa and that the original Jews were from Ethiopia and were black Africans, and the white Jews adopted the faith and customs later. He's been accused of distorting history, and since his work contradicts the prevailing view of Egyptian and African history, it is therefore controversial. So anyway, if someone wants to challenge a mainstream view or someone's view of history, of course, then it's controversial. How come yours isn't controversial? Since we found information to dispute your
right
findings. Yours is controversial. Okay. Anyway, so let's see. Let me see. His literary movement is considered Afrocentrism. Okay. And he is known as a prolific author, penning 49 books, such as The Black Man of the Nile and The African Origins of Western Religions. Got one. The subject of most of his books focus on Nile Valley civilizations. He also wrote and co-wrote elementary and secondary school texts in the 1960s. Dr. Ben, I remember viewing many, 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 many countless clips of his lectures. And not only would he share all the wisdom in his lectures, like Dr. Clark, he was often witty and humorous and very pleasant to listen to. I could just listen to him for hours upon hours, and I did. And I learned so much, and he really enlightened me. And after listening to Dr. Ben, I felt like I had experienced an awakening. So he is so apropos of the topic tonight, consciousness and awakening, because he did elevate me to another level of consciousness. He confirmed what I felt, and he was able to articulate it and prove it.
Wow.
And show us how we can study this and research this information. So I would always direct people to Dr. Ben or Dr. Clark, Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. Barashango, people like that, that share this information in a way, like I said, that they share the facts and the history of the information, and they can give it to you in such a joyful way. And I would feel so empowered after listening to Dr. Ben, like, I know that's right, Dr. Ben. Oh, you said it. Ooh, I have my laughs and giggles as well. So I love the way that he will share the information. Dr. Ben, we honor you tonight. African Spirit Honoree, Dr. Ben, we love you, and we know that you're living in power, and may we continue on with his studies and research. Dr. Ben.
Okay.
All right. So let's move a little more into our topic and unpack the levels of consciousness, shall we, Featherlight?
Well, I want to take a break before we get back into that and give a couple more of my quotes, which I promise.
When you
get messages from your spiritual team. Another sign is you smell something all of a sudden. I don't think I've ever done that. Yeah, you smell something all of a sudden. It's a strange smell.
I've experienced that.
You have?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. In this smell, I woke from my slumber, and I can smell this smell. And I said, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
when
that
happens, it's good to keep a clear channel. Like somebody is getting ready to call you, don't get on the phone. Be open to hear what's coming next. Another one is an earth angel, which is another person, delivers the information to you directly. It's a person. They're an earth angel, and they say something to you, and you know it. I can't say what it is, but you know it. It's like, oh, why would they say that at this point in time to me? And you find yourself giving advice to someone else and realize that is exactly advice you needed yourself.
Ooh,
now, yes,
yes,
I've done that.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, time and time again.
Oh, yes. All the time. I'm saying it, but I'm listening. Yes, that's true.
Yes. Okay. And you know what? I'm going to go home and do that myself. Okay. Thank you. Well, I have a quote. I'll say this is a quote from our last week's African Spirit Honoree, the late great Sister Princessa Ida B. Wells Barnett. And this quote reads, "The people must know before they can act, and there is no educator to compare with the press." And this is why I am so impassionate about having this radio show and being able to write and share our experiences, because this is the continuation of the great griot, of the griots, holding all the information and sharing it, being able to share in it, gathering all of the information, rather not holding it, but gathering it and sharing that information. and we're recording history. And it is so important because we don't want to look back on this time period and we didn't record it.
Right.
These moments. So it's so important for us to record. And this is something that I would certainly encourage young people and the millennials and everyone, just older people. I wouldn't say necessarily a certain age group. Everyone, try to record something about your day, so that even if you don't look back on it or do anything with it, your offspring can look back and say, wow, great granddaddy so and so, a great grandmama, great great grandmama. In 2017, can you believe they were doing this?
Right.
mm-hmm. So record those moments. I know we need to move into love the body, but how about if we just maybe go into one of the seven traits of... can we do that? Of awakening?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. The first one.
Why don't you do one and I do one?
Okay. All right. And then we're going to love the body. And this is also from Ralph Smart, Infinite Waters. If you're not following Infinite Waters, you should. You should check out some of his videos. I love his classics. And as I always mention, so inspiring and enlightening. And speaking of enlightening, enlightenment. Realizing how much you don't know. That is part of awakening. And I think this speaks to what you mentioned previously, Featherlight. You have some people who consider themselves conscious, but they're always judging other people and judging their level of consciousness. Oh, you still wow. wearing your hair straight. You should be natural. Or, you know, oh, you don't know who Dr. Ben is?
You know.
Oh, you still drink cow's milk? You still eat meat? You know. Okay. Just being critical and judgmental. So, awakening is just realizing how much you don't know yourself, because there's infinite knowledge out here. So, you can't possibly... Like, okay, my first degree is in African and African American studies. At this point in my life, there's no way that I can tell you every single moment or specific or significant event that occurred in African history. I'll be learning that all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So instead of placing people in a hierarchy, in hierarchy positions, realizing everyone is seeing the world according to their own perception, your subjective reality is the truth for you. Enlightenment. All right.
Another
moving right along.
Trait. Another trait of enlightenment is you start to appreciate the little things in life.
Little things in life.
Like a couple walking, holding hands. That brings the biggest smile on my face. I can just feel that energy. It's just so lovely for me to see. And children laughing, playing. Sometimes I go sit in the park and just to hear them laugh. Knowing that just a few years ago they weren't even here, you know, and seeing that life itself is a miracle. When I'm walking and I see an anthill and I see the little ants running around, I think about their community, you know, what they're doing, and I make certain that I walk around their little home. It's just thinking of life as a miracle, how beautiful it is. So those are two traits of awakening that we wanted to share with you, and we will pick them back up. Now it is time for a little love the body.
Love the body.
Love the body.
And we need some love the body music.
We do, don't we? Okay. Look, I was talking to my mom the other day,
and she shared another tidbit of information, and this is being recorded too, just like you said. You need to pass this information on down right here. And so this is actually being recorded as we speak. And I did some research. My mom asked me if I was still doing olive oil. So I've been doing olive oil for some years now. I'm trying to get her to eat healthier, even though she's 83, 84, drank Cokes all her life and loves sweets. I'm just, you know, it's never too late. So she finally switched to olive oil, like her doctor recommended. And so she said, you still just doing olive oil only? I said, yes, Mom, I'm still doing olive oil only. And I'm not doing margarine, you know, because margarine has plastic in it. And every time I go home, I see it in the refrigerator. And so she began to tell me how margarine got started. And so I thought I would share this with you guys. She said that at first it was a block of ugly, dead white-looking color. And it came with the packet, and you had to open the packet and then spread it all over the, it's like yellow liquid, and you spread it over the margarine to give it its coloring, and then you use it. So I thought, wow, what? So I did some research. And so margarine originally was created for the poor, because everybody couldn't afford real butter, and it had a white color, making the margarine look more like lard, and which people found, you know, very unappetizing. And this is around the late 1880s. And the manufacturers decided to dye the margarine yellow so it would sell more. But the dairy farms, especially one in Wisconsin, were having, they got it into legislation that they couldn't do that. So fast forward. They worked on it, and my mom had said, I don't think you were born yet when they were doing this. And so sure enough, in 1951, oleo margarine became popular because they had gotten it approved so that they could have a little capsule in a plastic bag to go along with the margarine instead of dyeing it in the factory, and the people could do it themselves. And so around 1955, the coloring laws were repealed or whatever. And so for the first time, they could actually color the margarine themselves before putting it into the store. So I thought, wow, that's really, really interesting. Because back in the day, I'm sure some of you baby boomers remember this old quote. It was a quote that said, if you're black, get back. If you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, stick around. Or you can, you know, switch it around. You know, if you're white, you're all right. Brown, stick around. Black, get back. Point is, black, get back. So I thought about that, and I know about white foods, and I thought, okay, well, here's a new one about food. If it's white, it's not all right. If it's brown, it may stick. If it's black, don't put it back. Don't put it back. Because in doing my research, I have found that black or dark-colored foods are much more healthier for you than the white foods. Put away the white sugar. Put away the white flour. Put away the white bread. Put away all that white stuff. Do you know that white potatoes were in existence in Europe for over 100 years before they considered it as food? And did you know that white rice really doesn't have any kind of, you know, real nutrition? So let me give you just this.
What? No, say that again, what you said about potatoes.
Okay, potatoes, white potatoes, you know, people of color, we love sweet potatoes, brown, yellow, orange. White potatoes were in Europe for over 100 years before they actually considered it as food. Now, I had read something about that because there's something weird about the white potato.
White potatoes, I think white potatoes have been used as a preservative. So I think
yes.
it was used as like a preservative more so because they use a lot of, I think it's the Russians that use the potatoes for the vodka in distilling the vodka.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was not considered a food for consumption for a long time. So, brown rice, much better than white rice.
Or black rice.
And of course,
Black rice
is delicious.
The black chickens have more nutrients and are more healing than a white chicken.
Yes.
In Asian communities, they prepare black chicken. White chicken. When you want to heal yourself.
It's called silky chicken.
So what?
And they have blue earlobes, five toes on each foot, whereas most chickens have only four. And like you said, it's medicinal. And then they have black mission figs, which is high in fiber and potassium and manganese. Black mushrooms. They're better than the portobello mushrooms, which we know are very, very healthy for you. And black sesame seeds, which is very, very high in garlic. In calcium. And then you have the black garlic. That's just a few of the foods that are, and it's a lot of recipes too. If you type in black recipes or something like that, foods, it's something like that, because I was just trying to look up some black foods that I could share with you, and then it took me to a website of recipes, gobs and gobs of recipes with the black color. It's really, really popular. But I just wanted to share that with you, to let you know about white foods. Somebody said something about don't eat white foods on the television, and a European got very, very upset about it, and he was offended. He was like, but what's the truth? You know, if it's been refined, that means that the essential vitamins and nourishment and nutrients have been removed. Refined in that sense is not a good thing, people. So,
but you know what? I would not have even argued with him. I would have said, "Listen, I'm just saying." I would not have argued with this person. I would have said. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. Everything is not about you.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Why are you making this personal?
Why are you taking it personal? Man. Okay.
All right. So sit comfortably in a chair. Raise your shoulders to your ears. Drop them slowly. Do this again. Relax your shoulders, softly close your arms, relax, and take a deep breath in, inhale, and exhale, let go of all the stuff that's in your head, relax, all your anxieties about tomorrow, let it go, your worries of yesterday, let it go, just breathe in now. Breathe in cool air through your nose, and warm air through your mouth. And without raising your shoulders, inhale, and then exhale and drop your right ear towards your right shoulder. Slightly tuck in your chin just a little bit. Right, good stretch on your right side and breathe. Inhale and lift your head back to the center. Exhale. And drop your left ear to your left shoulder. Keep your shoulders down. Slightly tuck in your chin. Relax. Breathe. Inhale. And back to the center.
Inhale, 4. Hold 2. And exhale, 6. Imagine as you exhale that you're releasing harmful toxins from your body. Inhale, 4. 2. 3. 4. Hold 2. Exhale. Now, as you inhale, imagine connecting with your higher spirit, higher self. The deeper you inhale, don't forget. Just breathe and go within. Inhale. Breathe in 4 times. Hold 3. Exhale 7. Inhale 4. Hold. And exhale slowly. Very relaxed. Take your shoulders. Thank you for joining us in our breathing session. And thank you for listening to Mind, Body, and Spirit. Namaste. Namaste. Peace and good night. And we will return. We will take a break at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. But we look forward to you joining us, and when, what date will we be back? Have a look.
September 6th.
Show our time with our live shows. But stay tuned. Don't you go anywhere. We want you to stay tuned to the Mind, Body, and Spirit show. And thank you for tuning in tonight. Peace and good night. Thank you.